Heroes are an inspiring group of people. Every one of them, from the larger-than-life comic book heroes you see on the big silver screen to the everyday heroes that let us live the privileged lives we do. Every hero has a story to tell. The doctor saving lives at your local hospital. The war veteran down the street who risked his lives for our freedom. The police officers and firefighters who risk their safety to ensure ours. Every hero is special and every story worth telling. But there is one class of heroes that I think is often ignored. The entrepreneur. The creator. The producer. The ones who look at the problems in this world and think to themselves, you know what? I can fix that. I can help people. And I can make a difference. Then they go out and do exactly that by creating a new product or introducing a new service. Some go on to change the world. Others make a world of difference to their customers. Welcome to the Hero Show. Join us as we pull back the masks of the world's finest heropreneurs and learn the secrets to their powers, their success, and their influence. So you can use those secrets to attract more sales, make more money, and experience more freedom in your business. I'm your host, Richard Matthews, and we are on in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Hero Show. I'm your host, Richard Matthews, aka The Alchemist, and you are listening to episode number 3 with Ben Atkins, How to Go from Chiropractor to 7 Figures Online. I'm really excited for today's interview because Ben is such an excellent person to do business with, and I've learned so much from him over the years. But before we get to the interview, I have a few things to cover. First up, this is the very first video interview that I've done on The Hero Show. So if you want to see that, check out The Hero Show playlist on my YouTube channel by going to www.theheroshow.com/YouTube. Second, for those of you who are new, thank you so much for listening. The Hero Show is all about unlocking the power of influence and success, and empowering you, our listeners, to discover your own superpowers so you can take your business and your life to a whole new level. We have a three-step process by which we do that. Identify, interview, and integrate. First, we identify modern-day heroes like Ben by their influence, their success, or their epic works. Then we interview them, getting them to pull back their masks and take off their capes so we can discover the secrets behind their success. And last, we work tirelessly to help you integrate the common principles that each of our heroes share into your own lives, so you can build your own success and become heroes in your own right. Now, if you missed our last episode, you'll want to make sure you check that out. I talked with the genius behind the Middle Finger Project, Miss Ash Ambrigé. We discussed how she's built a million-dollar business by embracing her moxie, all while globetrotting, sipping wine, and getting massages in exotic places like Costa Rica. It was an incredible conversation, so make sure you check out the interview on iTunes. Also, don't forget you can stay connected to me and the show by subscribing now. Just text HEROES, that's HEROES, to 38470. Or you can visit our website, www.theheroshow.com, and look for the box that says Join the League of Heroes and put in your email address. You'll get all sorts of cool gifts, be updated about our contests and polls, and get notified when we publish new episodes. With that, let's get to our interview with today's hero, Ben Atkins, so you can learn his 4 core tenets of building a big, profitable, lasting business and start tapping into a whole new world of influence and success.
There we go. We are live. So I am here with Dr. Ben Atkins. I'm Richard Matthews. Hopefully you guys can see the, anyone who's watching on the video, we got the fancy little video chat room here going. So it's good to have you here, Ben.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to do a quick little intro on what The Hero Show is for you guys and just chat a little bit with Ben about it. So basically, The Hero Show, we talk about heroes. So, you know, some heroes fight crime, some heroes fight supervillains, some heroes fight in wars, some heroes save lives, some heroes protect and serve, and some heroes are real, some are make-believe. This show really isn't about any of those heroes. The show is about a different kind of hero, the producer or the creator, the entrepreneur, the ones who look at this world full of the problems and think to themselves, you know what, I can solve that problem, I can help people. And I'm calling these people heropreneurs. So this show about you, Ben, you've been identified as a hero, the kind of person who has built influence or success by building or creating something of value and sharing it with the world. So it's about your hero story, and I want to share your hero story with the world and use it to help other people's, like, understand how they can also become a hero. So with that, I want to talk a little bit about where you guys are now with Fearless Social and what you guys do, so we can sort of contrast that later with where you started and how you sort of went through this hero journey.
Sure. You know, it's crazy. Started off just sort of kind of being in that mode of, okay, I've got to do something with the rest of my life. And I always wanted to help people. I mean, you know, I think it's where we all sort of start. Like, we don't know how we want to help people, but we know we want to help people. And we know I'd love to have enough money to eat too while I'm helping people. So yeah. That's, you know, that was sort of the criteria getting started. So, I started out as a chiropractor and went to school what seemed like forever to do that. So that was a good 7 years out of my life, and got out. And while I was sort of getting ready to take one of the final tests to get certified, I ended up with a job in a mattress store. You know, crazy, right? It was one of those things where I'm like, okay, I got to study for this test. I need a job in the meantime. I can't really work as a chiropractor yet, but I can still talk backs with people if I'm working in a mattress store. So that kind of fits in some weird way in my head.
So yeah, all of my chiropractors have asked me about my mattress. So,
right. Well, exactly. So, you know, I ended up there, and it was one of those things where, you know, serendipity, but I had no idea that that's what was going on at the time. So I was in this mattress store, and in between studying for a test and, you know, selling mattresses, I ended up on a couple blogs and on a couple forums, and I was like, I really got into this internet thing. And I was like, okay, so there's people out there that like make their entire living on the internet. That seems kind of cool. So it started out as simply as that. And then I got out and I started practicing as a chiropractor. And the really cool thing was that whole time I was able to build my practice really quickly because of what I learned sitting in the mattress store about the internet stuff.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a lot of money for radio and TV. And so I was doing that, and I grew the practice really fast. And that's where things got like really interesting. I had other business owners start hitting me up and be like, hey, so it seems like you're doing really good with this. Can you help us out? So I, without even knowing it, I sort of got into consulting and was helping other people. And I really liked that. Like, you know, I would see patients. So I love seeing patients and helping them out. And then I would like kind of go to my alter. It was like an alter ego type thing where I would go
put on your other hat.
Life. Yeah. And be sort of this consultant to small businesses. And that I didn't have time. That's what was really crazy is with the clinic, we got busy so fast because of how effective the marketing was that it got really busy. So I got this crazy idea. I'm like, well, why don't we start recording everything that we're doing? Why don't we start writing everything that we're doing down and just turn it into like a PDF or like a little video course that people can go through and step by step and put it in front of the people that are doing stuff. And that's sort of where it all started. It was just like, I didn't have any time to do the things that I wanted to do. So that was sort of the solution. And then I look up very quickly and we've got, you know, people that are buying from us in pretty much every country on the planet that had internet at the time. And I was like, well, what just happened here? And yeah, so that's 3-4 years ago. And here we are. And
it's just gone from there.
At some point I was like, I really am digging this. And I had another chiropractor in my office that was, you know, we were doing really well. She was like, can I buy the practice from you? I'm like, sure. You know, why not? I can always go back. And then that's 2.5 years ago that's happened. And now I pretty much do the consulting and the online marketing full time. And I, you know, love it because, like I said, we get to help people from all over the planet. So it's fun.
Yeah. So your origin story really started a couple of years ago, you know, where you just sort of fell into your role as a hero helping people, huh? That's interesting.
So, yeah.
So I have a real quick story I wanted to share with you because one of the reasons I wanted to have you on as one of the first interviews is because it's kind of your fault I'm doing the show, partially.
Oh,
you and two
nice.
You and two other people. I already had one of the ladies on. Her name is Ash Amberger. She was on the last interview. And she, you know, one day she tells, she sent all the people on her list an email, but it spoke directly to me, said something
right
along the lines of go out there and do something and call it project, you know, colon, whatever. And so I wrote down on my little notepad that day, I was like project colon hero. Cause I had been fascinated by this whole study of influence for a long time. And I was like, I'm going to do a podcast about that. And then I set it down and forgot about it for like years. and
love it.
And my first introduction to you was actually a promotion you did for the Audelo software.
Yeah, okay.
So it was a couple years ago when you promoted that, maybe not even quite that long ago. But anyways, it was right when they launched.
A year, I think. Yeah,
yeah. Year and a half. And I was like, I want to do that podcast on the Hero Show.
Nice.
And so I was like, I had the idea from Ash, and I got the tools from you. And then I was like, I needed to get it done and actually, you know, so a couple couple of months ago, I was like, I'm going to actually get that started and get going. So nice. Anyways, you were sort of part of that origin story here of this show.
I love it. That's cool. I love that.
Yeah. So anyways, you guys do a lot of stuff over at Fearless Social. Everything from traffic driving to the cool new bird song thing you guys just released with some retargeting things, and you do coaching and all sorts of stuff. So really what I want to know is if you could narrow it down, what is your guys's actual superpower? What do you do or build that offers this world, you know, to help solve problems for people? What's the thing you use to help people slay their own villains?
Sure. It comes down to four things that as I've been doing this, it gets really complicated because there's all these tools, there's all of these courses that, you know, you have tons of options out there, which is, I think, is a really good thing.
Yeah.
But really easy to get lost. So a while back, you know, we started putting some things together to help folks really focus, because it was sort of how I got focused. And there's really four things that if you want to go from, you know, not doing anything online and not doing anything, you know, doesn't matter what your business is, but like let's say I was a chiropractor still and I wanted to help people, you know, that were outside of my normal area. There's really four things that I would have to do. And there's four focuses of what everybody online should be focused on. The first thing is you have to have a product. And if you want to, you know, work online, you have to have something that's portable and can be delivered digitally. So that first thing is the product. And now if you don't want to, you know, you can still do physical as long as you can ship it. But as long as you can get it out of your area to someone else, that's a big thing. And it's all about product. The second thing is the real focus is like, once you have that product, you have to have a way to convey to other people that it's unique and it's a good fit for them, or it's not a good fit for them. And that's
which
really
is
where
just
like,
as important.
Yeah.
Knowing who
really
it's not
is.
A good fit for.
Right. And that's really sort of the marketing and the copywriting side of things, like where you get into persuasive sort of writing type stuff. So we get into the copy. So you've got your product and you've got sort of your copy and your marketing stuff. So we've got that. The third thing is once you sort of get those things figured out, you got to actually get it in front of somebody. So we go into traffic. So you have to start focusing on how do I get this in front of the right people? So that's, like I said, it's a good fit for them. So that's that. Once you get those three down, you're pretty much on your way. And, you know, that's where you can, I mean, like when I got those three down, that's when I went and I was making really decent money, you know, from home. After that, you start figuring out, though, that it's not the easiest thing to run a business, and it's not the easiest thing to stay disciplined, and you need help if you'd like to have a, you know, an even better life. And so you get into like staffing, and you get into like system, business systems, you know, accounting, things like that.
How you actually run a business.
Yeah. And that's sort of the last part, which is scaling. And once you get those four things down, that's the whole thing. So in our company, and this, that was sort of a long answer for this whole thing, but in our company, that's our focus. It's like anything that we build, anything that is a teaching, you know, like a course, or that's a piece of software, has to fit somewhere into that. So with like Birdsong, you mentioned, that goes into sort of the traffic area. Mm-hmm. And that was a big need for us. We needed something that did that, but we couldn't find anything that did exactly what we wanted. But when we got into it, we were like, okay, which of those four things does that absolutely solve? And it was absolutely the traffic part. So that's how we sort of do business. That's how we sort of think about helping people, is like, if you're going to actually do it and you're going to, you know, grow your business online, which is what we're all about, you have a business and now you want to sort of take it onto the internet so that you're, you know, have the world as your customer. How do you do that? And that's how we decided that we would help people focus, is those four things. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So I know one of the things you mentioned at the beginning, you know, the first thing you have to have is a product. And mm-hmm. one of the discussions I've had with myself and several other people, like over and over and over again, is you realize you could literally make money with anything. Like people, I actually met someone that his business, he's the guy that puts tile down in underwater fountains. Like that guy.
Beautiful. Right. Yeah.
I was like, I didn't know there was a guy that did tiles for underwater fountains, and he has like all the contracts for all the casinos and hotels in the entire country and makes millions.
Yeah.
And I was like, you could be the tile guy, the underwater tile guy. Right.
Yeah.
And
that's the beauty of it. It's just, picking something that you want to do and maybe that you're, you know, good at already, and then saying, hey, how do we start reaching those folks?
Yeah, and then you go, you know, got your product, and then you have to get it in front of people, and you have to scale that. Now, obviously, to handle all the contracts across the country, you have to be able to scale your business.
Right.
But one of the things that I've noticed is that, like, you really have to decide before you get into it, what do you want your life to look like?
Yeah.
What do you want? Absolutely. What kind of business model is going to give you the lifestyle you want? Because, you know, the different business models are going to have very different work associated with them, and just sort of like how you build them.
Without a doubt. I mean, I know when I started, I had a certain view of what my life was supposed to be like. I this is crazy, but, you know, I wanted to have the option to work from home. I wanted my wife to not have to work if she didn't want to. I wanted to be in a position to where I could travel a lot and I could pick up at a moment's notice and go do just about anything that I wanted, and be able to work from wherever I wanted to work. And, like, it's funny, I didn't even realize that was a vision that I had until after I was in a job that
allowed you not to do that.
And so that's sort of the thing, is I look up today and it's exactly what I wanted, you know, 6-7 years ago, but couldn't quite put my finger on.
Yeah.
But yeah, you do. If you start building a business, you know, that doesn't fit that, it can even be something that you absolutely love doing. Like, I love being a chiropractor, but it just didn't sort of fit the lifestyle.
It didn't give you what you wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good point. Very good point.
Yeah. I know. Like, I've built a couple of businesses now, and I get, like, you know, get them to the point where they're starting to make money and realize that, like, this isn't giving me what I want. And you realize quick that it's not the money.
Yeah.
Right. Because you can make the money doing anything if you do it well. As I heard someone say recently, like, if you want to beat, like, 90% of the people, just show up.
Yeah. And that's it. It's,
yeah.
But it is. It's at the end of the day, you're like, what do I want? And, you know, who do I want to be doing this stuff with? And how do I want my day to look? So, absolutely.
Yeah. So, with that, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, Heroes 2 Belt, right? Maybe you have a big magic hammer like Thor. Or a bulletproof vest like your neighborhood police officer. Maybe you just really love how Evernote helps you organize your thoughts, or maybe you can build killer slides in Keynote. This can really be either, like, actual physical tools that you use, or
sure,
some sort of psychological, you know, tools that you talk about. I know Ash Ambridge and I talked a lot about just some tools she uses when she's talking to clients, just some psychological discussion tools. But what are some of your favorite tools that you help you grow your business?
I have very few, but the ones I have are absolutely huge for me. I think the first thing is real silly. I'm very deadline oriented. And that's how we've been able to grow so quickly. It's like, I'm very, you know, even though I don't have to necessarily, I'm like, well, we have this project. It's pretty cool. I think it's going to help a lot of people. And while I think a lot of people have those things in their head, because we have a lot of smart people out there that we work with, they're not real deadline oriented, so it, like, never gets done. And I'm like, you know what? It seems impossible to get it done by next Friday, but that's our deadline. We're gonna do it. And so,
just,
like,
make it happen.
A simple Google Calendar and being very accountable to yourself of this is the day that it's gonna happen, and this is the day that we're going to, you know, introduce it to our public. That's an important thing for me. And that's such a boring sounding tool, but it's, like, one of the most important things for me. So Evernote, another, you know, huge one.
Yeah.
For us, just because it's portable. That's the thing. Any device that I have in my hand or that I'm sitting in front of a computer, like, I can pull up Evernote and I can share everything. And so, like, Evernote is something that probably took me a good 3 years to even figure out what the heck it was all about. But once I did, I was like, oh, this is what this does. And it was like, come on, stupid, you know? And I was like, okay. So started using that quite a bit. After that, I've got two big tools, one we built, and another someone else built. We have our copy gen, you know, it's basically a copywriting sort
script
of
doll.
Yeah. It's script doll. And that's nice, because I can, you know, before I got that, it would take me, like, forever to think about, like, how to write a piece of persuasive sales copy. Now I just go in and answer a couple questions and it spits something out for me and I can go from there. Taking that, which is very important to me, which, I mean, like, usually when I got really good at writing persuasive sales copy, it was 2-3 days. With Script Doll, it's 2-3 hours. tops, and taking that and coupling it with something that a friend of ours does, which is ClickFunnels, which basically builds sales pages, web pages, all those things. Being able to take what we spit out in ScriptDAW and putting it into ClickFunnels, I'm able to, I mean, like just this past week, I had a whole sales funnel that we put together that was like 3 or 4 different items that we did in a day. And, you know, when I thought I was doing really good, it took us like 1 to 2 weeks to do something like that. So that's game changers for me, because it's all my tools are basically time oriented. You'll notice saying we're going to do something by this date, and then having tools that take really hard jobs, no matter how skilled you are at them, and really decreasing the time that it takes.
There's two big things I get from that. The first one with the deadlines. Sure. I've heard deadlines as being a massive, massive game changer for people if they understand the power behind them. And I'm going to forget the guy's name, but I heard him speak. Actually, you were there at the ASM event. He talked about productivity, productivity for entrepreneurs. He talked about deadlines as being a linchpin for people going from one level to the next. I don't know if you have anything else you wanted to say about deadlines and how deadlines really help you build that influence and success that you guys have got now. Because I know you guys are doing like 7 figures in at Fearless Social. So how important have deadlines been to going from 0 to 7 figures?
It's everything. I mean, really, that's the most important thing. Our whole thing is not only do we have, you know, deadlines, but we have numbers attached to those deadlines. So not only do I always have a deadline, but I've always got something attached to it. Like, okay, this particular product that we put out, I think that we should be able to generate in this amount of time. So 72 hours, I think with the resources we have right now, I think we should be able to, you know, generate $50,000 to $100,000 in revenue. And so having that deadline actually means something to me, because I'm like, well, I have to hit this so that I can hit that revenue goal. So we really have our month laid out a couple different, I mean, we start with the financial goal. So I'll say, you know what, we want to make $200,000 to $300,000 this month, let's say. So I have to sit down and I have to really sort of build in my calendar and say, okay, what are we going to do
to make that happen?
Yeah. And so I sort of work backwards from the income goal, and we put these things together. And you know, if you're not helping people, you're not going to ever hit that goal. But if we hit the income goal, great. It's awesome. If we don't hit it, then that really tells me, okay, what were we missing resource-wise that I now need to go build into our business and do that? But it all comes down to, like you said, it's a deadline. It's saying, this is what I want. This is how we're going to do it. And this is the amount of time that I think it's going to take us to do it. And this is when we're going to launch it out. And I think the number one thing with anybody out there that's killing it is they actually set deadlines. Because honestly, when I had like a job and I worked for someone else, there was always deadlines. When I was going to school, always deadlines, you know, and that's what actually kept me productive. Now, the scary thing is when you start to like go into business for yourself, or you're like working from home. And I went through this for a while where I had no deadlines, because I was like, this is great. Just chill out. And then nothing got done.
Yeah. So I've been there.
We started setting those deadlines and telling people about them. You know, I was like, this is the date that's going to get done. And, so I had some accountability. And pretty quickly you start seeing that that's pretty much the only way you move the needle and put points on the scoreboard. So, you know, you start getting addicted to the deadlines.
I have a quick question on that. For someone like you, you have sort of like this benefit of having a built-in team of people that you're accountable with, because you have a company. So for people that are working solopreneur type that haven't gotten to the point where they're scaling into having a company, how would you recommend accountability for there? I know you actually did a call on that a little while ago, and you have a product or service that's in that space. Do you have any recommendations for people who are solopreneurs and starting that kind of deadlines? Because it's really hard to keep a deadline just with yourself.
I think it's if you tie everything to money. And I said, of course, income goal, but if you tie everything to money, it's really difficult to stay with a deadline. You have to have something you want. Like my big thing when I first started is I was all by myself. I mean, like when I first started this company, it was just me sitting in a basement and I had a computer and there was nobody that was working with me. I didn't have any built-in staff. It was just, this was sort of a side project that I wanted to become a full-time project. So what I ended up doing was I sat down and said, okay, the first thing I want is I want to put $20,000 in the bank Like, that was like the goal for me. And I want to do it by this time, because if I put that $20,000 in the bank, I'm going to be able to upgrade sort of my equipment for this gig, which I sort of liked. And I'm also going to be in a position where I can hire someone to help me do all the things that we're doing. So, like, a big goal of mine out of the gate, and this may sound silly to some folks, but a big goal out of the gate was I needed some help. Like, I loved sort of teaching. I figured that out pretty quickly. I love creating things that help people. And I realized pretty quickly that there were some things that I didn't need to be putting my attention into. So I needed to hire someone. So, like, really quickly, my initial deadlines were set up so that I could hire someone.
Yeah.
So, you know, I knew it was going to take a certain amount of cash, and I knew I needed a reserve to get started for me to be comfortable. And that's really where it came in. I was like, I got to hire this person. I want to hire this person as soon as freaking possible. And to do that, I'm going to have to go in and generate some cash. So I set, like, this is the date I want to hire someone. And I worked backwards from there. And that's what kind of kept me accountable in the beginning. And what was nice is I had some friends that I was like, so this is what I want to do. This is the dates that I want to do it by. And I respected those friends enough to be like, I'm not going to drop the ball. So they're going to think I'm a failure, that I'm just all talk. And that's what got me started. And then after that, yeah, I had the team. So I was like, if I told them to do something, that we were going to do something by, you kind of had to stick with it. So that's how it started, though. It was always just a, this is sort of what I want in my life. This is the date that I want it by. And I'm going to tell a couple people that I respect that this is where I'm going to be. And I don't want to be that person that just talks all the time. I want to be the person that actually moves the needle. So that's what got it started for me when I had no one else.
Once you get to a point where you actually have a team, I remember I worked for a big solar company, and I was up in the sea level with the execs quite often. And the CEO ended up becoming a sort of a mentor for me. And one of the things that he told me regularly was, like, our deadlines are always payroll first.
Yeah.
Because once you have a team, he's like, we've got 100 people who their lives are dependent on us hitting our deadlines.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's a big motivator. So they're always, I can't remember, he says like 3 or 6 months out on payroll. You know, just because they always want to have that buffer in there, because, you know, the people that are on their team are the most important part of their business. So, I mean, you sort of build that kind of urgency into your deadlines right off the bat when you start hiring people. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about your guys' mission over there at Fearless Social. I know, what is it? Spider-Man fights to save New York. Google fights to index all the content in the world. What is it that Fearless Social is trying to do for the world?
So I always have this vision of someone that was like me. They, you know, they were sitting in an office. They were business owner. Like, we're not really good. I've started to notice we're not really good at people that are just hobbyists with business. Like, it's like their side gig. Not my favorite person to work with, and I don't think we speak to that audience really well. What we are very good at is someone that's already a business owner. Whether it's a really, really small business or, you know, a larger, you know, multi-million-dollar business already. But we like working with people that are already super motivated and already want to do something with the world. So they sort of have this mission of, you know what, I make the best salads in this town, you know, and like, we want people to come in and we want them to have that dining experience. Or I'm the best chiropractor around, and I feel like I really have a gift that I can help, you know, people feel better. We like those folks, people that already sort of have a mission in their life, and they just are having a tough time reaching enough people. They're having a tough time sort of scaling their business so that they can have a little bit more of what they want in their life. That's our ideal person. And so when we find that person, our goal is to give them a bigger megaphone, mm-hmm. and to give them more ways to reach more people, help more people, and make more money in their business. And that's sort of what it is. It's like, we take people who already sort of have their product, or maybe have one product and want more products. We take that person and we give them the ability to have a huge, huge reach all over the world. And that's us. We want to take people that are already good at something, sort of an expert, and give them more of, hey, how do we reach more people? How do we sell more products? How do we help more folks? And when we can do that, not only And this is the beautiful part about what we do. Not only do we affect that person, you know, we've affected so many thousands of people in that way, but we also have this indirect touch on the thousands of people that we teach them how to touch. So that's sort of where we're at. It comes back to what I said in the beginning. It's all about helping people. And you start figuring out that if you help enough people, they turn around and get to help thousands upon thousands of people. And you get this weird sort of thing. Like, the world's a huge place, but you start sort of covering the world pretty quickly when you work that way. And that's really what we do and how we give people sort of a bigger megaphone. That's what we do.
You're a mission amplifier.
Yeah, pretty much.
you make people's their own personal, you know, what is it that I want to do and how can I do that bigger and better?
Yep.
I'm help more people with
Absolutely.
It. So that's cool. So how about for you personally? Who are some of your heroes that you know, that sort of help you go from where you started to where you are now, you know, and, you know, maybe they're real life mentors, maybe they're speakers or authors, or just peers that were a couple of years ahead of where you were. And how important were they to, you know, helping you accomplish what you've gotten now?
Two or three. I would say right out of the gate, Mark Zuckerberg sits in my head. I think that's always an interesting story to me, because it was someone who had a vision of how to connect the world. Like, right away, that was, you know, sort of, we can bring a lot of people together, and it takes off and it becomes sort of this money-making thing, you know, not right away, but pretty quick, pretty early in the grand scheme of things, this giant money-making thing. And instead of selling it off or, you know, getting involved with just sort of what I would consider now the wrong things for that company, Facebook, it was always about the mission. It was about, this is who we are and we're going to die with this mission. And I think that's what I love about, you know, Zuck is built Facebook. It was about connecting people. Money comes along, you know, doing really, really well. But if you really read into the story, like the underground stuff that was going on with that company, if you weren't solely about the mission of connecting people and growing that sort of mission within the company, you were gone, and you were gone really, really quickly. And they didn't mess around with a lot of things in that company that weren't focused on that. And I think they just sort of had this mindset that as long as we stick to our mission with this thing that we've built, the money will come, the good things will come, we will continue to grow. And that's why they've grown. So I really like the company mission over at Facebook, just because at its core, of course, it has to make money. Of course, they have to be focused on those things. Of course, they have to go public at some point to continue their mission. But it's always about, how do we connect people in a very genuine way? And that's pretty cool when, like, you can sort of ignore all the money that's being thrown at you to do other things and to sit around on your butt all day. I mean, like, you know, that's sort of where I think we start, to be that focused on a mission and know you have the tool for it and to stick with it. I think that's very admirable. So I like that quite a bit. When we build things, that's sort of how we build things. Are we building this thing to make money and to exit, or are we building this thing to change the world? And if change the world's not in there and it's just a money thing, then why the hell are we building it in the first place?
Yeah. So, what's the point?
Yeah. So Zuck is an absolute big win in my book. I really like the way that company came together. And there's of course some negatives with everybody, but I think that that's a very good story for any entrepreneur to go in and read.
It's really interesting too, because like I graduated high school the same year that Facebook came online, and then started my college career as it was growing. And yeah. I remember like hearing about this whole Facebook thing, and it was like halfway through my college career when they opened it up to other colleges.
Me
and
too.
So
yeah.
Like our college got invited to Facebook, and you know, I had some of my other friends who were in colleges across the country, like, hey, you have to go on Facebook so we can connect. And I was like, I remember saying no. I was like, I don't want to do any of this social media stuff. Who's going to do social media? That's just crazy.
Right.
And it wasn't until like my senior year of college that I got like a Facebook account. And it's funny because now, and the reason I think it was that like the year later, they'd open it up to the public and my mother got a Facebook account and I had a child. And my mom actually was like, you will get a Facebook account and you will post pictures of my child or I'll kill you. And I was like,
right.
And I was
how
like,
crazy is,
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I don't want to see the wrath of my mother, so I'm going to get a Facebook account and post pictures of her grandchild. So,
yeah,
like that was the beginning of my social media, and it was for connecting people, right? That's yeah. why we got on it, and it's like changed the culture. So it's very cool.
Okay, so I hope you've enjoyed this episode so far with Dr. Ben Adkins. Before we get to the last question I have for Ben, I want to take a brief moment for one of this show's self-sponsored pieces.
Are you tired of trying to write webinars that don't consistently convert? How would you like to have a webinar that effortlessly created sales in your online business? You can. Introducing the Webinar Alchemy Workshop. Webinar Alchemy Workshop is an online masterclass that will help you write incredibly persuasive webinars for your online courses quickly and easily. Using what you learn in this class, you can build a webinar that educates your entire audience while still creating sales. For a limited time, you can purchase this masterclass for only $7, and you'll get the exact framework I've personally used to help my clients sell more than $1 million worth of online coaching and training just over the last year. Simply text the word ALCHEMY, A-L-C-H-E-M-Y, to 444-999, and I'll send you all the details.
The music is by Purple Planet Music. Visit www.purple-planet.com.
So the last thing I really want to talk about is, you know, sort of bringing this whole thing home for our listeners, which is guiding principles. You know, what are the top one or two principled actions that you use regularly, like on a daily basis today, that contribute to the success and influence? Maybe the one thing you wish you knew when you started out that you do every day now, or you do every week, or whenever it is, that really helps build that influence that you have now?
I think it's, for us, it's always been, but it's something we've paid more attention to in the last 2-3 years. It's always about customer service, because, you know, I think the problem is a lot of folks are all about the sale, you know, that first sale, and they're there, they do all the, they put all this focus into the marketing and the sale. And this is where we sort of get into that part four for us, the scaling stuff. Yeah. And, you know, once we had a great business and we were good at the other stuff, it was like, well, how do we become a company that really helps people? And what we really figured out was it's all about what you do after people spend money with you. Because we have a business that's very interesting. We don't have, like, I don't think we have near the customer base or the reach that most people think we do because of, you know, our income numbers. We're just really focused on the people that we have. And with those people, you know, they have certain questions, they have certain things that after they buy, they really want to have a connection with the people that created it so that they can continue the conversation. And we're extremely focused on that. Like, if you buy from us, we want a couple touch points with you after. Like, we're sort of annoying that we're like, we're not letting you go. You can't just go into a corner and use our software and use our stuff. We want to have a connection with you. If at all possible, I mean, I'm not going to come knock on your door, but if all possible, I want to be around so that when that question comes up, the second that you have it, you can get an answer very quickly. So we have a couple touch points that were big. And this is sort of what guides us daily. We have, you know, a private sort of group of our customers, and our customers just sort of hang out there. And we have a nice presence on Facebook full of these customers. And what really is interesting about our company is a lot of the things that we've built in the last year to a year and a half have come from that group of people. They were just like, I am struggling with this. Like, I bought this. This is awesome. It got me to this next level. But now that I'm on this next level, I'm stuck. And, you know, I didn't even think about this being something I'd get stuck on. And so they hit us with that. And typically it's something we've seen already. So we're able to sort of interact with them pretty quickly. Also, we have a very good support team. Like, you buy something from us, something comes up, you can hit us up. And within a couple hours, you have an answer. Now, that may not seem like a guiding principle type thing, you know, right at its face. But the idea is we got into this to have a connection with our customers and to help them with something. And we build things that help them. But if we hadn't had just this great focus on our customers and what they were struggling with once they got to the next level with what we helped them with, I don't think we would be near the company that we are today, because that interaction pretty much dictates what we do a month down the road, what we do the next week, because our customers have gotten so used to being able to ask. And like I said, that's a common thing for me is daily. They're like, I can't believe I got an answer this quickly. I can't believe we got this. And I'm like, it's not about us trying to save a sale. You know, it's not about us trying to, you know, make you think that we're just amazing. Like, we take so much from our customers in that maybe sometimes there's a problem that we don't know needs to be solved. And at the point that we're at right now, we are able to connect with some of the top experts on the planet. So if there's something that I don't know, I can typically pick up the phone now and get a hold of someone to come solve that problem. And it's like our customers now act as sort of a, hey, this is a problem that needs to be solved. I would prefer you to solve it rather than me go look somewhere else. So as silly as it is, customer service has become such a guiding principle for us daily, because the folks that are out there in the trenches doing these things that we're, you know, we've been solving problems for years, but they're out there doing it. We're out there doing it too. But them giving us those things really gives me sort of the ability to do what I do. And I never go to bed without sort of planning out my next day. Like, what's coming the next day? What do I need to tackle tomorrow? What's on the calendar so that we can hit this big goal for the month and we can hit this big goal for the year? And our customers really help us do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's actually I've bought a lot of things online. I actually totaled it up. I've spent more on marketing education than I did in my college education by like a factor of four, which is scary. And we're getting close to six figures over the course of like 7 years. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Not a lot of people I buy from again. And in the difference that I have with you is I've bought almost everything you've ever put out. Because I can't help myself. and a lot of that has to do with the customer service and the connection. And like you said, the group that you have on Facebook. And sometimes, you know, I have to stop myself and be like, that doesn't actually fit into anything I'm doing right now. So I can't buy it, even though I want to go through it and just learn what you're doing.
Well, I think a lot of people think that we're just super sneaky and that we, I get that a lot. People are like, I can't help myself when you're buying. And I think some people think that we're just really good at marketing, but it's not that at all.
It's not.
The secret's silly. It's we actually listen to what our customers ask for. So, and then we go build it. And of course it's irresistible because you asked for it like a week ago or you asked for it a month ago.
And now it's here. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and it's funny because I noticed the companies that I do business with over and over again all have that same thing going for them. So like the two examples that pop into my head are my bank and Apple, right?
Apple and
totally. So Apple. Apple is like that. It's like I can't ever have a problem that Apple doesn't fix for me. Like, it's not that I have many problems, but
two, 3 years ago I bought my first iMac, right?
Yeah.
And when it arrived, there was a crack in the screen. It wasn't Apple's fault. You know, it probably just got cracked during shipping. So I get on the phone with Apple with like 2-3 minutes I'm on the phone and they kind of tell me what to do. Within 2-3 days, I had a computer, a new brand new same model waiting at my door before I could even get the other one shipped out to return to them. And I was able to get back to work, you know, right away. And that's one of those things I'm like, why would I ever buy from anybody else again after this experience? Yeah. I mean, there's just no reason. So, I thought that was maybe unique to me. And then I start talking to other people that have worked with Apple and it's the same stuff over and over again. It's that level of service.
So, yeah. And so like it's Apple. And then I use USAA for my banking and I've used them for, I don't know, since I was like 15, cause I got an account when I was old enough to get one, my dad has the membership or whatever. And they've got like my entire history there. And like when I get married, when I have kids and like I get on the phone with the customer service rep and he's like, oh, how's your daughter? I see it was like, she had her birthday last week. And we have this program for kids that helps them start saving now and other things, you know, whatever, just their level of customer service is phenomenal. And it's one of those things that it feels very genuine, that they care about you and, you know, the services and stuff that they offer are to help you. And I never feel like they're trying to sell me things or anything. It's just that, you know, here's what we do and we help you with your finances and your banking and who you are and your family and the people that you're connected to are important to us because you're important to us. And I can't, like, I've banked at a few different places and even some of the other big banks, and the customer service keeps you around.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's like the secret sauce.
It is.
So I have one last thing. It's not a question. Sure. It is a challenge. I've started referring to this. I'm gonna, you know, the first episode I'm gonna do this on is the Hero Challenge. Just one person that you think we should invite onto the show and sort of hear their hero story.
I gotta go with a really good buddy of mine. We started out together, and he now has this monster in the making that he's putting together. It's like a physical product company. My buddy Donald Wilson.
Okay. I actually know Don. I'm in his in one of his masterminds.
It's one of those things where over the years we've pushed each other quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it's just weird to see after 3-4 years where we started and where things are for both of us now. And he's just got a great sort of journey story from the get-go to where he is now and why these things have come together and all the crappy things that have happened to him along the way. And, you know, I have those things too. We all do. But it's just such a great story to listen to him tell it and to see sort of where things are now and all the difficulty that he must face daily with the company that he has now. The odds are always against, you know, him, I feel like, with what he's doing now. But it's like he's doing this really cool thing with his company Gear Bubble, and he's definitely a good one. So, yeah.
I say, would you be willing to make the introduction for that
yes.
interview?
Without a doubt, absolutely.
Awesome. So, thank you for coming on the show today and doing this with us. It's really good to hear your story and sort of what you guys are doing. And for anyone who is just hearing of you for the first time, is there some place that they can go and check out or any particular service that they should look at first if they want to get started for, you know, building a business online?
I'm big on not wanting to sell you anything in the beginning if you don't know who I am. I think that we have a very cool place that you can come learn about what we're, you know, sort of our mission and what we teach for free, fearlesssocial.com. You go there pretty much every couple days. We've got something brand new coming up. That is aimed at helping people sort of, you know, get that bigger megaphone and do more and have more customers and help more people. So fearlesssocial.com, that's where you can find this. Tons of cool free stuff that you can read. That our whole design of that is every blog post we put out should give you a tool to grow what you're doing. So, yeah.
So, and if you don't mind, I'm going to plug one thing for you, and that is if anyone is not a member of Ben Adkins, the Syndicate Group, that's where I would go first after having bought most of your stuff. I've gotten the most value out of that group and the interactions there. So I'm not sure if that's somewhere available on your Fearless Social, but that's where I would go first.
Within a couple days, it should be up. Yeah, that's one of my big things, because it's like, that's another secret. Like, everybody says the Syndicate's such a good place to be, and I'm like, it's not because of me. It's because we've got
great of all the people
there. But yeah, we're going to have actually a place on fearlesssocial.com where you can get in there. So we'll have that up in a couple days.
Okay. Well, with that, I'm going to go ahead and end our recording here. And that's a wrap. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the show by texting HEROES, that's HEROES, to 38470. What I want to do now is invite you back to listen to episode number 4, where I interview fellow sales funnel expert Justin Burns, where we hear his incredible hero's journey in building the sales funnel agency and how he's worked with some of the biggest brands in the world. Make sure you don't miss this episode. And as you go about your day today, think about this. If you have a mission to help better people's lives and have built a product or service to do just that, you might be a hero. And that's our heroism for today. Submit your own You Might Be a Hero heroism by going to www.theheroshow.com/submit. And last but certainly not least, if you know anyone who you have identified as a hero and you want to hear them on the show, why don't you take a moment and nominate them for the Hero Challenge by going to www.theheroshow.com/nominate. Thanks, and I'll see you on the next episode.